We're drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome into episode 44 of the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
I'm Amy.
And we got a absolutely stacked show to get to, so let's not mess around. Let's get right to it. Follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Myself at Fernie635.
And I'm at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. Make sure you check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Coming up on this week's show, the regular season's finally here, preseason's behind us, the final roster is set, so we're going to touch on that just a little bit. We will talk a little bit about the Riders versus Lions 42-10 debacle, whatever you want to call that game. Was that a competitive game in preseason last weekend? We're going to talk about this week's upcoming game against Montreal, the season opener, Thursday night, Riders versus Darian Durant. There's another storyline as well, but we'll get to that in just a minute. We're actually going to be joined on the line by Alouettes defensive tackle Keith Scholigan, former Rider. He's going to join us and just shoot off the cuff a little bit and have a little bit of fun with us. We'll have the Coney Island Piffles player profile, the return of the Hottie Bowl.
It's bad.
So everybody can just skip through all the boring stuff, get right to the Hottie Bowl. I know that's what you want to hear. So we'll have that coming up in a little bit. We'll have a rant, maybe two, maybe four. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but we'll figure something out. We'll have a rant for you. And we're also going to finish our team-by-team previews. This week, we're going to take a look at the one team that's left, the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You've heard us talk about the team in the offseason, but we're going to get someone who's a little bit more in the know with the team. We're going to talk to Jamie Nye of the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. He's going to join us and just take a look at what the Riders did in the offseason and what he thinks is going to happen. But let's get right to it. The Rider roster news, it was the big news over the past week. The final roster is set. Cuts were made. The biggest names that you're going to recognize off there, obviously Vince Young got his release, not going to be healthy. They also said that if he's going to go back to Texas, rehab a little bit, and if he wants to come back, it sounds like there's an open door for him there. Not really surprised by that cut. I'm wrong. I pegged him as the starting quarterback in week one. Not that I'm not upset about the cut, but it is what it is. And the other big name that I want to mention is Anthony Allen. Everyone else that got cut, Brian Bennett, Xavier Bingham was a little bit of a surprise, Ivan Brown, Jeriel King. I mean, there's a couple names that you're going to recognize on there, but for the most part, this roster is pretty obvious as who is to get cut. Now, you guys, any surprises to you?
Well, I'm with you. The only one that really shocked me when this was released was Xavier Bingham. I mean, since that initial release, we've learned that he's going to be back in a couple of weeks. This is just a roster move to open up another spot while he's gone. I don't expect him to be gone long. He thinks he's out 2 to 3 weeks, so we'll see him back again soon. The biggest uproar was Anthony Allen.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Considering we're talking about a guy who was a late add to camp, he was brought in mostly as a camp body. I think a lot of fans thought that. Well, apparently a lot of fans didn't think that. I think a lot of people in the media and a lot of others would have seen it that way. Running back is clearly not a key position for a Chris Jones offense. We ran the ball, what, 15 times in two games?
You know, was it that many?
I know it was four or five last week, and we thought we'd see more because we saw none in game one. All you have to do as a running back in our offense is block, and that's not Anthony Allen's specialty. He can't catch out of the backfield. He's not a great blocker. He's not a fit for this offense, and that's why he got cut the last time he was here. Other than that, they're all pretty clear. I was really shocked that Gatewood got cut. That one came as a shock to everybody.
Yeah. After all the big plays he gave up in BC.
One of the biggest shocks to me was actually Quincy Walden, especially today, just before we record this, it was announced that Chad Owens was going on the 6-game list. I figured he'd be, after his couple big returns, kind of lined up for backing Owens up as a returner. But it turns out that is not to be the case.
Well, and I tweeted out during the game, it was right after a play that Ricky Collins clearly gave up on the ball and it was intercepted. I thought that was the moment that Quincy Walden earned his job and we'd see Collins, you know, out the door. You're right. I'm shocked by that. I thought he did enough to earn a spot. I feel like he'll be at the top of the speed dial list should we clearly need help at the kick return position. But
no, after that BC game, the team announced their practice roster, as well as all the cuts and players on the suspended list. On the suspended list, I want to make a quick note of this, is Emmanuel Adese, Alexander Chevrier, Mitch Picton, and Ahmad Fullwood. You're wondering why these Canadian players are put on the suspended list and what exactly the suspended list is. It's basically a way to keep the rights of these players as they go back to school, or if they can't make it up to Regina for whatever reason. It's just a way of stashing players. If you were to cut a guy like Mitch Picton, let's say, even though he's going back to school to finish his fifth year, any team can sign him or put him on the neg list, and you lose out on those rights. So people are wondering, well, why did he get on the suspended list? Why didn't you just cut him? What's going on? That's why, to retain the rights, and it's a move that every team does. So if you're wondering about Chris Jones just stashing players, that's not exactly what this is. It kind of is, but it's a thing that every team does, for especially draft picks. You find these a lot. So don't worry about that. Mitch Picton will be back next year. Got another year to fine-tune his game in the college, and also just to kind of bulk up a little bit. I know they want to make him a focal point in this offense in the next couple of years. So that'll be something to see in the next couple of years, Mitch Picton coming back and putting in some work. For the rest of the roster moves, if you haven't seen them yet, make sure you check piffles.com. Steve, you put up an article on there breaking down the roster, what moves were made, what surprises there were, and it's a good article, so make sure you check that out, piffles.com. Time to recap this Rider game against BC that we saw last week. Now, I don't want to get too much into it, because really that game sucked, and I'm kind of upset I didn't have anything better to do on a Friday night than to watch that preseason game. But really quick, who looked good? Because there were a couple, right?
The biggest one that stands out is Davis Tull. I think he's our starting defensive end opposite Willie Jefferson. He had a couple of sacks. He looked like he was pushing into the backfield on a lot of plays against BC's starting offense or offensive line. He was the big one that stood out to me.
A couple of receivers, Daron Carter and Naaman Roosevelt, obviously they were going to look good. But a quarterback, Brandon Bridge, looked good to me. He did not seem to have any give, even when it seemed like nobody wanted to help him out. He was doing whatever he could to help this team out. Tried to hurdle a player, kind of took a shot in the crotch. It ended up being called back on a penalty because, as I said earlier, nobody wanted to help him out, but it kind of solidified his number two spot on the depth chart.
Well, that was the storyline right there. Every time we started to get any momentum, it was penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty after bad defensive play. I mean, that's not the sign of a strong team. That scares me a lot.
You know who did look strong to me, again, for a second straight week, was Marquise Williams, quarterback. He was 14, now he changed his number to 12, so he's not taking the exact same approach that Darian Durant did, going with number 14 and then going to 4. But Marquise Williams just looked absolutely strong. There was the one play that I was really impressed by. It ended up being a turnover. It was a fumble, but that was on the receiver. He rolled out of the pocket, broke 3 BC Lions tackles, still got the pass off, got it to Marcel Rees, who ended up fumbling the ball. BC took the ball and probably scored. I think they scored that drive too, or came close. Even though Bennett had that long touchdown bomb, Marquise Williams in both games looked better than Brian Bennett.
And you know who he looked a lot like on that play?
Darian Durant.
I was going to say Mike Riley. But yeah.
Well, if he can turn into half the quarterbacks that Durant and Mike Riley were in the first couple of years of their career, I mean, that's a steal for us. So hopefully we're not going to toot his horn too much, because we know how that always ends up working out. Terrence Nunn.
Or Brian Bennett.
He looked strong, and there's a lot of promise to him. And it'll be something to watch, as he's made the active roster. He's on third-string quarterback, so see how he develops. Who looked bad, specifically, because the entire team pretty much looked bad?
Warren Gatewood.
I was just going to say, the rest of the team?
Yeah, he got dinner on Delta, that's for sure.
What?
Dinner on Delta.
I've never heard that before.
Really?
Alex has said it on this show multiple times.
Yeah, basically, just get out your scissors. You're getting cut. You're getting your dinner on Delta tonight. You're gone.
That makes a lot of sense. And yes, he was very much cut very quickly. I'm pretty sure he was cut before he got back to the locker room. The whole defensive back unit was awful. There's no real other way around it. There's a reason we brought in a player like Javon Johnson. We were in desperate need of help. Which is kind of sad after the first game where, we all went in going, good. we all went in thinking this is our weakness, and they showed well and played strong, gave us a little hope, and in typical Rider fashion, they ripped that right away, right quick.
I got to say, the offensive line, first two offensive plays for the Riders were penalties by the reigning most outstanding lineman. Derek Dennis didn't look like his self from last year. Dan Clark was a bit of a turnstile. Anybody that seemed to line up on that offensive line just looked bad, and it kind of showed on the scoreboard.
And I'll just kind of add to that offensive line, specifically Dan Clark. I got called out by him on Twitter, actually, which was pretty good. I said the Riders need to do better than him at center, and he said you could at least at me. And I guess he's right, but the one play that I really saw that I thought was bad was there was a defensive lineman for BC coming in from, he was an end, coming in on a stunt, went right around everybody. Dan Clark just looked at him, go by him, didn't even put his arms out. That's what bugged me, is the fact that he looked at him and didn't even try to push him out of the way. He just let him go, and it was a sack. And that bugged me, so that's why I put him on my look bad list. Now, really quick, overall grade of this team going into the season, if you can give them a grade, school grade, A, B, C, D, F, where are they right now?
Well, I predicted a 9-9 season. I don't think that's changed in my mind. With a 9-9 season comes a C grade to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, kind of a C, maybe C plus, 500 team.
Amy, do you have a grade on the team?
I was sewing when that game was on. I wasn't paying attention.
That was probably more exciting than the game for most Rider fans.
So no grade.
No.
All right, I have them at a D. The offense should be fine as long as the O-line does well, which we saw in the first preseason game, which and that we didn't see in the second game. But the defense is just way too much of a question mark right now. I'm not confident in that secondary, even with the addition of Javon Johnson. And it sounds like he's going to start at corner this upcoming week. Even then, you got three veterans in the CFL, Ed Gainey, Jeff Hecht / Mike Edom, whoever's going to, whatever our safety rotation is going to end up being, and then Javon Johnson. It just has me too worried right now, and they get a D.
What happened to the homer, Alex?
Oh, yeah, well, A+. The team's going to go 18-0, and oh, wait, that's Ryan's prediction over in Calgary.
We're not that cocky. We go 17-1.
Yeah, we know what's up.
Before beating Calgary in the playoffs, like we always do.
Like we always do, yeah. Anyway, that's all for the preseason game. I honestly chalk it up a little bit to the fact that we played 70-some-odd players in that game, and the fact that this team traditionally never does well in BC. It doesn't matter, regular season, preseason, anytime we travel there for a night game, it just happens. I don't know if it's the jet lag for, you know, time change. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, they just never show up. And it was kind of predictable when you look back at it, but it's very disappointing that they didn't perform better. Now, don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, check out pifflespodcast.com for more. We broke down that game after it was done, so make sure you check that out. And don't forget to join our CFL Pick'em group. Beat us. Win some prizes. Got a whole bunch of people in there now. Still time to get in there. Make your picks. If you beat us, win a prize pack. That's a pretty good deal.
When's the last chance they can join?
I think you can join throughout the entire season, but join in before the first game so you can actually pick that first game and have that count towards the list.
To beat us, they should probably join by about week 5, week 6.
And we'll all be on a head start. Yeah, and we'll all be on level playing field then.
Level playing field. Yes.
All right, well, let's get to our Coney Island Piffles player profile, brought to you by Coney Island Poutine Cafe, the best poutine in the prairies. Check out their two locations in Regina. Let's see who it is. I really want to know.
This week, I'm going to talk about one of the new players added just in the last month. We kind of raved about him during our preseason week 2 recap. Davis Tull, defensive end, born November 12th, 1991. 6'3", 250 pounds, good size for a defensive lineman. Born in Knoxville, Tennessee. He attended university at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. Got drafted in 2015, fifth round. 148th overall to the New Orleans Saints. He later signed a 3-year contract and was placed on their 53-man roster, but he ended up being placed on the injured reserve early in the season. On September 3rd, 2016, the Saints waived Tull, and he later signed with the Atlanta Falcons. He was placed on their practice squad and released shortly after. And that led him to Saskatchewan on May 27th, 2017, where he's looking like a young John Chick, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, that's the main comparison that I'm seeing. It's just from the motor of him. Reminds everybody a lot of John Chick. And honestly, except for the size of the biceps, body type looks a lot like John Chick as well. So if he can turn into half the player John Chick is, put him up with Willie Jefferson. Two scary bookends. All right, so there's Davis Tull. We'll see a lot more of him this week as he made the active roster, and I'm sure he'll be on the rotation at defensive end, opposite of Willie Jefferson, with A.C. Leonard and Jonathan Newsom. All right, now what everybody's been waiting for, long time coming, it's the return of the Hottie Bowl. 'Cause I'm all that you want, boy. All that you can have, boy. Got me spread like a
buffet. Bon appetit, baby. Appetite for seduction. All right, he was born December 7th, 1993, so he's just a kid too, in Thousand Oaks, California. He's 6 foot 2 inches, 235 pounds. Attended college at Montana State. He was signed as an undrafted rookie free agent by Seattle in May 2015. He then spent a few months on various practice squads in the NFL. He was drafted by the Calgary Stampeders with the sixth overall pick in the 2016 draft. He actually became a Canadian citizen in October 2015 and qualified because his mother was born in Toronto. Over the course of his rookie season, he played in all 18 regular season games and the Stamps' 2 playoff games. He contributed 65 defensive tackles, 9 special teams tackles, and 3 forced fumbles. He is Alex Singleton, number 43, the linebacker for the Calgary Stampeders. Welcome.
And I think you just made the top 50 of the TSN top 50 players tonight, too.
Yeah, had a hell of a rookie year.
He's
and
okay.
And they got a good one in Singleton. He'll be a good player for many years for Calgary, and maybe one day we can convince him to change his jersey color and maybe wear green instead, because that would be a lot better.
He has beautiful long hair and looks so cute holding a puppy.
I was going to say, it didn't hurt when the Stamps posted their pictures of a few different players and posted a video of the players.
Of them playing with puppies?
Playing with puppies.
Every team should do that.
Yes.
Slash, every work should do that. Oh, my God.
For just a few moments, she didn't hate the Calgary Stampeders?
Yeah. I didn't even hate them. And you guys know how I feel about the Stampeders.
Did you hate them because they had puppies and you didn't?
That's part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
I hate everybody who has a puppy and I don't.
I have a puppy.
Yeah, well, we all know how I feel about you.
You hated me before the puppy.
And it's even worse now.
But now she has an excuse.
Yeah. That. Anyway, you can follow him on Twitter, AlexSingleton43.
And just remind everybody about the rules of the Hottie Bowl again this year.
3 players from each team, 27-man roster. Ratio still will be intact.
So you got a Canadian off the list.
And I got a stamp off the list.
And a stamp off the list.
Yep.
So you're going to get the stamps out of the way quick so you don't ever have to talk about them again?
Well, no. I was going to do O-lineman right off the bat, but that was an easy one. The puppy helped.
And kudos to the Stampeders. If you guys didn't see that video, check out the Stamps website or their Twitter. They have it all on there. It was a good video. It was pretty cute. So.
And all the puppies are adoptable.
Exactly. And that's what makes it nice, is that you can actually get those puppies.
# adopt, don't shop.
So what you're saying is if you really want to get a spot on the Hottie Bowl, bring a puppy.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Why do you think Chad Kackert made it last year?
He didn't play. Yes. Dogs, so, puppies always help.
So would it bug you a little bit extra to know that when I met Ricky Foley, he was walking his dog?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably don't mention that.
I'm done for the day. I'm just going to sit and look at Instagram pictures now.
Thanks for your input.
Hey, no problem.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jamie Nye of the Green Zone on 980 CJME, 650 CKOM in Saskatchewan to give us our final team preview of the year as we look at the Saskatchewan Roughriders and get his thoughts on the team. That comes up after this. Piffle's podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffles Podcast. All right, joining us now is the host of the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM, Jamie Nye. Jamie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
We're taking a look at the riders this week, and we've taken a look at them, but we're homers, so we're not allowed to really say much about them. Now, you follow the team on a daily basis. You're at the practices. You know the ins and outs. How is this team shaping up in 2017 compared to 2016?
Well, they're better off than they were last year. There was so much instability, a complete redo of a roster, over 80% of the roster. So I'm seeing a lot more stable spots as I look at the depth chart. Defensive line, they've brought in Zach Minter. He's a new face, but he's CFL experience. Willie Jefferson wasn't there at the start of last season. I think he's going to have a great year. I'm predicting he leads the CFL in sacks, to be quite honest, this season, and that's going to help out. So I think 5 wins last year, it's going to be better than that. It's going to be, I think, eight wins.
Don't spoil it yet. We'll ask you in a little bit here.
Too late, I just spoiled it. Spoiler alert, I think it's 8 wins. But yeah, I think it's a lot more stable for the Rough Riders than it was, and across the board in different spots, especially the receiving core. They have veteran savvy there rather than hoping a few young guys come along.
All right, since you went and spoiled it, we'll skip ahead to the last question. Prediction time. Where do the Riders finish? Do they make the playoffs? How do we do?
Make the playoffs is going to be tough because the East isn't going to be as sucky as it was last year, and that is the technical term for it as well. They had, 8-9-1 was the first place in the East, so there's going to be more victories coming out of the East. That's going to take away some victories from the West. I don't think the Bombers are going to do very well. I think the Riders will finish above the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and do you know what? I think what could happen, and I have a question mark, November 4th against the Edmonton Eskimos in Saskatchewan. I think that game between Edmonton and Saskatchewan could decide whether it's the Eskimos or the Rough Riders in the playoffs. If there is only 3, I think that's going to be it. If there's a crossover, I like the Riders' chances in a crossover spot if there is a crossover this year, because I do believe they'll finish higher than the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who I think were over. I think Matt Nichols is overrated. I think that defense they had plus 29 turnover ratio last year. Plus 29. Calgary had plus 19. The next best was plus 2. That's how far and away the Bombers defense was giveaway takeaway last year. There's no way they can repeat that. No chance they repeat that, right? So you don't have that. You're not stopping the points going up. I don't think Matt Nichols and that offense are going to generate as much. So I believe Riders finish above the Bombers, and then it's a fight with the Eskimos for 3rd in the West Division.
So besides the obvious, who is our biggest loss this offseason?
Well, the biggest loss this offseason is the quarterback. Was that the obvious?
Yeah, that Mitchell was definitely Gale. The obvious.
Mitchell Gale wasn't that good, Jim.
Well, which of the quarterbacks, Jake Waters, G.J. Kinney, which of the other quarterbacks have left? There was several of them. I think Chris Best's retirement, there's a little, but then they pick up Peter Diakowski, so I think that's fine. Linebacking core, Otha Foster has to be the biggest guy. Otha Foster at Sam linebacker, that is a coverage spot. That is, and he was, along with Chris Jones, came down from Edmonton, kind of the quarterback of that defense. Otha Foster, to me, will be missed, and we saw it against the BC Lions, number 37, Sam Williams, who looks like he's going to start there again this week. He was chasing the entire play, and that is dangerous when you have a player like that chasing. I know there's some people that didn't really like Otha Foster all that much, but that is such a tough position in the CFL, and if you didn't like Otha Foster, well, ladies and gentlemen, he's in the National Football League, so that tells you how talented he is. That is going to be a big, big spot for the Riders to replace, and it might take a while before someone fills it. I could see that being a rotating door of different players going in there.
Now, you mentioned coverage here. That entire secondary is really, other than Ed Gainey and to an extent Jeff Hecht, kind of up in the air. Where do you see that secondary lining up this year?
Well, I don't mind Casey Rogers at corner, and it looks like Lyles is going to be the starting halfback this week. At least that's what we were seeing. And Javon Johnson, they signed this week, cut, and now he could start at corner. That is a scary proposition where you couldn't find one guy to play corner throughout entire training camp when you had 19 defensive backs. Not one of them can play. That is concerning, that already it's the rotating door of different players and all these different guys coming and going, and now you're just bringing a veteran in and Javon Johnson at that one corner spot. I'd be playing some Montreal Alouettes this week. Ernest Jackson, Nick Lewis, Darian Durant in fantasy football, because I think the Alouettes may not have the same success Jonathan Jennings had against this Riders defensive secondary, but yeah, it's a little bit of a concern.
Now, on the flip side to Ferland's question, who do you think the Riders' biggest pickup of the offseason was? Who was the most important player they got on board?
Well, Derek Dennis, hopefully he has a better game than he did against the BC Lions, because that didn't look so well for the most outstanding offensive lineman. But they needed to solidify their offensive line on the tackle position to protect the quarterback, to allow Kevin Glenn to find all these talented receivers that he has at his disposal. So I'm going Derek Dennis. Has to be. And then another one, this late trade for Peter Diakowski could pay off big time if Josiah St. John can't come along and be a contributor and a starter. And Dariush Bladek, I think, is that's a long shot for a rookie to fill in that quickly. And he could be a late addition, but a pretty valuable one to fill in, as I said, Chris Best's departure this offseason. I'm also very interested to see how this Daron Carter thing goes. Because he, you never know what you're... He is talented beyond belief. He is unreal as a football player. Until they lose, until he doesn't get the ball, then he turns into whiny Daron Carter and becomes a little bit of a distraction. But you can't argue the talent of Daron Carter and allowing Naaman Roosevelt to get a little more open space, I think, for the Rough Riders this season. And I think I tweeted it out. Best 1-2 punch in the Canadian Football League. Don't at me.
So listeners, make sure you at him.
Yeah.
On that one.
Yeah, at Jamie Nye.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, so you had the Riders making the playoffs.
Maybe
making the playoffs. Coming down to that November 4th game against Edmonton, who wins the Grey Cup this year?
BC Lions. Jonathan Jennings and the BC Lions win the Grey Cup over the... I want to say Montreal so bad. I just... But I can't. I think Zach Collaros is going to have a great year for the Hamilton Tiger Cats and actually finish the year, or at least play a full season, because he did finish last year, but he didn't start the year. So I think Zach Collaros actually gets through, you know, 16, 17 games, throws for over 5,000 yards. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, the BC Lions, take it to the Calgary Stampeders in the West Final as some revenge from last year's West Final. That's the Stampeders dominated. And then the BC Lions with Wally Buono, potentially his final game, wins the Grey Cup. Just like the storyline in 2011, but I don't think he comes back this time. So I think the BC Lions are the 2017 Grey Cup champions.
Well, that'll make our friends over at the BC Lions podcast pretty happy. So we'll make sure we at them on that. Jamie, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Jarrell Freeman, currently of the NFL Chicago Bears, formerly of the Riders and the Indianapolis Colts of the NFL. He was in Regina for the NFL Canada Play 60 event, and I actually had a chance to sit down and talk with him over the phone. I want to play a little bit of that interview for you. You're in Regina for the NFL Canada Play 60 event, and this event is to get kids active, learn teamwork, and to have some fun. What is it that makes you want to be involved in an event like this, especially in Regina?
I think it makes it like even more special that I get to come back to Regina. Love the city, love the people here. People have always been great to me. I feel like family here, so it's good that I could do something to be able to give back and just helping kids get active here and stay active here and develop early good habits, man. And I think that's good just for not for kids here, just for kids everywhere, man. Just try to get them off the couch and outside playing around.
Now, if you want to read more of that interview, the whole interview is on pifflespodcast.com. Check that out there. Great to talk to him. It's a great event. Get kids out there and active. And it was unfortunate that the weather didn't hold up great for them on Saturday. It was raining on and off, but from all accounts, it sounded like it was a good event. So make sure you check out the rest of that interview at piffle'spodcast.com. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at this week's regular season opener as the Riders play Darian Durant and the Montreal Alouettes. Stick around.
You are listening to Piffles Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
On All right, time now on the Piffles podcast to get to the season opener preview. The Riders opening up the regular season on Thursday night, June 22nd, against the Montreal Alouettes in Montreal. The game will be on TSN. The big thing that everybody's talking about, it's not just CFL is back, kickoff opener. Nobody seems to care about that. Everybody's talking about the Riders versus Darian Durant. Durant versus Jones. And that's the main thing that everybody's talking about.
Hold on. I'm going to let you finish, but I have the biggest beef of all time. I actually sent out a tweet earlier today asking if there were any Rider fans out there who were actively hoping that the Riders lost on Thursday. Mostly, I was just kind of curious to see if there were actually any of those fans out there. I'd heard stories, but I wanted to know if it was true. Lo and behold, I was not disappointed. What in the actual all-holy hell is wrong with Rider Nation right now? How can you go out and call yourself a fan of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders while actively hoping that the team loses? I don't care how much you hate Chris Jones. Rider fans cheer for the Riders. Period. I don't care. For me, I don't care if Jar Jar Binks is the head coach of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I'm still going to hope that they win. I want them to win. Now, I don't care how much you love Darian Durant. We all do. He's an Alouette now. You can go out there and hope he has a great game. That's fine. Let him throw four touchdowns in a losing effort. If you actually want Darian Durant and the Montreal Alouettes to win, get out of here. I could go on all night, but I'm just going to let you have the mic back.
People hate Chris Jones here. Hate to the point where people will not cheer for this team even when if they win a Grey Cup, as long as Chris Jones is here.
I call BS on that. So even those people will be the first ones in line in the middle of Albert Street when we win.
Absolutely.
And we all know it.
Yep. It's just getting tiring.
You're either a Rider fan or you're not. And there's different variations. Bandwagon fans are needed.
Absolutely.
I don't care how much you love the team or how much you cheer for them. All fans are needed. But if you're going to actively cheer for this team to lose, I want to say words that would make this show not family friendly anymore.
No, we're not also saying that you have to like Chris Jones, because you don't have to like Chris Jones. You can hate the moves. We've hated a lot of the moves that he's made, but he's still the coach and GM of this team. And ultimately, I want the team to do good. So I'm going to cheer him on because I want the team to do good. That doesn't make me a better fan than anybody else by any means.
No, I don't care who you like, don't like. You could hate every member of the team. You could call Chris Jones an a-hole. I don't care. But you should be cheering on your team if you're a Rider fan. And this has been eating at me all offseason. And now that the game is finally here, I know we're going to see it and we're going to see people cheering Durant on, and that is fine. Hope that he throws four touchdowns? Go for it. If they lose, I'm fine with it.
I heard it good today. This is primary example of fantasy football. You're going up against your fantasy football quarterback, and your personal team is going up against Derek Carr, let's say, from the Oakland Raiders. I want my team to beat the Oakland Raiders, but I'm starting Derek Carr on my team. I'd be okay if he threw five touchdowns, but lost. And that's exactly how I feel about Darian Durant. I hope he goes 16-2. I hope his two losses are against us. That means he's doing well, which we all wish him well, and he's also beating all the other West teams for us. That would make me happy, because that benefits the Riders.
The best case scenario I saw, and it was an analogy that was replied to on my tweet, was I hope that this game is exactly like the 2010 season opener. Straight down to the Rider quarterback winning it in overtime. It was a great game, great fun. Good luck to Darian Durant, and you said it. Let's hope he goes 16-2. I don't think anybody would complain. Who wants a Alouettes Riders Grey Cup up in this room?
Oh man, that'd be insane.
That would sell it pretty quick.
Well, it's already sold out.
That would be absolutely crazy.
Nobody here hates Darian Durant.
No, of course not.
Love the guy. We would love to have him on the show. We're big fans of his, all of us, but he's the enemy now. Wish him well, and there's a lot of players across the league that I hope they have great games. I will never once cheer for my team to lose.
No, of course not.
Sorry.
Anyway, this isn't the rant segment, so let's get back to actually talking about the game here. Obviously, that is the big storyline, is Darian Durant versus Chris Jones. It's not even Durant versus the Riders. It's Durant versus Chris Jones. In the media, they both shrugged it off. It's just another game. It's not. This is not just another game. I can guarantee you that The league wanted this game in Saskatchewan to kick off the season, and the Riders said no. No chance we want this game to start the regular season, because it takes away from the opening of Mosaic Stadium, showing that off to the entire country on a broadcast, and we'll have to wait till later in the year for him to come back. But the other storyline that I'm going to kind of bring up as well for this game is Daron Carter. Not many people are talking about that. Daron Carter is also facing his former team, who cut him last year. The Riders at least traded their quarterback. They cut him in the middle of the season to the point where he couldn't even join a team to play in the playoffs. Now, he's got to feel some ill will, too, just the same as Durant does for the Riders. So it'll be interesting to see, especially a guy like with the character of Daron Carter being a very outspoken person, sometimes difficult to control. That should be pretty fun to watch.
We've all seen it. Daron Carter plays at his best when he wants to play, and you know he's coming out of the gate hard on Thursday night. There's no way he comes out into that game with zero emotion. You know he wants to win. If you are playing CFL, TSN, fantasy football, put him on your roster. He is going to go off.
And there's a whole other storyline that just kind of popped up, yesterday, with Javon Johnson coming over from Montreal. If he's starting, he's saying that he had the best camp in his career. He deserved to get a roster spot in Montreal. He got cut at the end of training camp, and he's here now. He's got a chip on his shoulder, too. This is a game just full of storylines.
And he's got intel, too.
Exactly.
You know
he's sitting down with Chris Jones after practice and in the meeting rooms and saying, this is what they're doing.
Oh, 100%.
Now, what are you guys looking forward to the most? Obviously, other than the obvious football game is back, it's the first regular season game, so everybody's a little bit more amped up, new optimism on the team, and this happens for every team. And other than the two Durant and Daron Carter and Javon Johnson storylines, what are you guys looking forward to in this game, Verlin?
Offense. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout right to the end.
Yeah, to me, same thing. What am I looking forward to the most, outside of the obvious? I want to see how our defense will stack up against a moderately successful quarterback, as it were. You know, we know Durant's got the skill to put points on the board and put up a lot of yards if he's on. That defensive backfield needs to be strong. And if we see what we saw on Saturday night in BC, it's going to be a long night. I don't care how many points our offense puts on the board. That's a scary situation. So
I want to see how the O-line holds up on the offense. They looked bad against BC, and that was with the starters, other than Labatt. That was with the starters in. So I know I don't expect another bad game from Derek Dennis, getting two back-to-back procedure calls and then a holding penalty after. Like that's not going to happen. I just want to see this offense roll. The defense, we've talked about it before, and the secondary, and that's what scares me about this team, but I want to see this offense roll with Kevin Glenn.
We could also go with that as a storyline, you know, Kevin Glenn playing against his former team.
That's a storyline every week.
There we go. Except against Edmonton.
Yes, that's true. All right, well, we'll get to our predictions in a little bit, but one of the players the Riders are going to have to deal with this week is a former Rider, defensive tackle Keith Shulgin, and he joins us on the line from Montreal right now. Keith, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on. We'd love to talk to you guys out there.
Now, first off, we have to ask, it's the storyline of the game, Darian Durant versus the Riders. Both teams have kind of shrugged it off as just a normal game, but is it really? Like, how badly in the locker room does Darian want to stick it to Chris Jones?
You know what? You wouldn't tell in the locker room. I know that it's got to be, it is something serious because, well, how couldn't it be? He's Darian Durant. He is what the Riders have been for so long. But in the locker room, you know, it hasn't been mentioned. There is no lick of it. We are focused on doing our jobs and being the team that we're supposed to be. It has not been mentioned once. He's Double D's a complete alouette now, and that's what this season's all about, is him being an alouette. So realistically, we haven't mentioned it, and no one would even know that he played for a different team last year if you would walk into our locker room.
Okay, now the real reason we asked you to join us isn't to talk about on-field stuff. That stuff is boring.
Okay.
We want to know a bit more about you and what you're like off the field.
Sounds good.
Now, last year, we talked to one of your former teammates, Marcus Chunky Adams. And
Chunk.
I want to play you a clip, okay?
Okay.
So, unfortunately, since you are retired, you can't make it in the team, but who do you think should take your spot on the roster?
A honey. A defensive tackle. I will have to go with my old buddy, Keith Schulligan.
And why would you pick him?
I really don't know. I have to go with Keith Schulligan, man. When he dresses up nice, he dresses pretty good. He has his cowboy boots on and little tight little jeans and his little tight little shirt tucked in. he looks like a really good farm and cowboy.
So
there you go.
So I don't know if you know what the Hottie Bowl is. It's a segment we have on the show. It's like a Pro Bowl roster, but for hot players in the CFL.
Ah, yes, I do remember. I do recall this. I got told about this. I was talking to Chunk last time I was in Regina. I come out frequently. I work for in the off season. I help my brother over in DLMS. We go around to a lot of farms, and I get stuck on the or put on the Saskatchewan trip just because it is nice to come back and seeing people who want to see my great cup ring. And I saw last time I was in Chunk, or one of the times I was in Regina, Chunk didn't tell me about that. And we got a good laugh.
Now I want to know, just how good do you look in those tight cowboy boots or jeans and cowboy boots?
I got my wife looking that way, so it must be a good thing. It must be a good thing.
That's all that matters, right?
Exactly.
Now, outside of football, what takes up your time? What are some of your favorite things to do?
Well, outside of football, I'm active in a few different things, of course. Well, inside of football, kind of with AIA Athletes in Action, and it's a Christian organization where we do chapel and stuff like that, and we go around to churches and go around to communities and talk about God and things like that. So that's one thing that I do kind of related to football. But with my family, I have a wife and wife Anna, and then we have four boys now. My first boy was born in 2013, the year we won the Great Cup. And then we pretty much have popped one out every year since then. And so I've got William, Samuel, Benjamin, and August. And we just had August. He's 3 months old. So we're busy with them, and then which is great. My wife is a saint and does a great job being a mother for them and a wife for me. So that's probably my biggest focus outside of football. And, of course, I also, the last couple of years, I have been helping my brother out. He runs the purebred division of DLMS, and so I work for them and go around to purebred sales and put them online so farmers at home can bid on cattle online.
So you've been in the CFL for a while now, kind of seen it all. What's your favorite CFL city to visit and why?
Which one? You know what, my favorite CFL city to visit would have to be Edmonton just because it's close to home. I've never played there, and so it's always nice to go back during that time. And that has nothing to do with football. Going and playing games in Saskatchewan is always exciting because you, of course, always get the loudest and most passionate fans. But, you know, you get to go around everywhere, and you get to see the cities, and you get to hang out there for a couple days. And they all have their ups and their downs, and, you know, and they're all getting kind of newer, so they're kind of appreciating the nicer locker rooms, too. So they're all pretty good.
What is your dream vacation destination, and what would you do there?
What is my dream vacation destination? Oh, geez. You know, I used to think it was going to be the beach and stuff like that, but I sweat way too much. So I would actually...
Cosign, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I've been to Mexico twice, and you know what? It's a good time and everything, but you know what? I would rather go to the Alps or go down to Colorado and go skiing or something like that. I think my wife and I would enjoy that a lot more.
Now we know everybody's kind of got one. What's your one hidden talent that football fans might not know about you?
What is my one hidden talent? You know, I have no idea. I've been trying to figure out my hidden talent my whole life. I've just started to try to figure out how to play the guitar. I know, like, three or four songs like Navajo Rug and Puff the Magic Dragon. So I am trying to actually develop a hidden talent, which is something interesting.
So in an alternate world where you didn't play football, what would you be doing with your life?
Well, I'd like to say I'd like to say I would be a professional wrestler and I'd jump around and stuff like that, but I don't know if I'd be any good at that. I'd probably just be stuck being a good dad, hopefully. but who knows? probably be stuck working in the farming industry somewhere.
I'm curious about this pro wrestling career. What would your name be, and what would your finishing move be?
The Sholinator. I don't know. That's got to be what it is. Who knows?
Are you like pile driving people? Is that the finishing move? Just a big giant spear?
You'd just be a football tackle.
All right. And what's your favorite cheat meal?
Cheat meal. I'd have to get on a diet before I have a cheat meal. So, I'm a tackle that has to actually have to keep the weight. I like, you know what? We had a big, nice, we had sushi yesterday. So right now it's sushi. I'd have to say we can get some sushi in, and we can kill it when we go into the all-you-can-eat places. So.
All right, Keith, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
All right, no problem, guys. Thanks.
And by the way, take it easy on us this week, all right?
Hey, I hope we do well. It's going to be a great game, and it's a great way to open up the season.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Good luck this year, but not too much luck in those two games against us.
There you go. I appreciate it, guys.
There's Keith Schulligan of the Alouettes here on the Piffles Podcast. Maybe one of the most underappreciated riders of their strong Grey Cup runs in his years from 2008 to 2013. Just the guy was just a force in the middle and just solidified that defensive tackle spot. Kind of a shame that he was let go in the expansion draft. And
I still think that was one of our biggest mistakes in the expansion draft.
Well, clearly, they should have let anybody else go except for him. But, it's a little too late for that now. Oh, well. Okay, a couple things to get to here before we end the show. Ferlin, time to get salty. Now is the time for a rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
So this is going to be a quick one. Something that just really bothered me about that second preseason game between the Riders and the BC Lions. There was an incident where Craig Rowe, defensive player for the BC Lions, got a sack, did a bit of a celebration, got penalized for it. Very next play, got a sack, did a celebration, got penalized for it. This is a celebration that he did last year as well and was never penalized for. But last week he did. And I have no problem with the penalty because he mimicked using a weapon and a beheading at that. I just don't feel it's something that somebody should be doing in, 2017 with all these acts of violence going on in the world. But people were getting mad that he was penalized for it because, it's just an imaginary sword. People aren't going to be affected by that. Well, would it be any different if it was an imaginary gun? We've seen Calgary actually remove the gun patches from their jerseys. Those are imaginary guns too, but it's a symbol of violence, and it's something that doesn't need to be in the game of football or in any sport for that matter. I'm all for celebrating. I'm the first one in rec sports that'll celebrate a goal or a touchdown or anything, but just keep it friendly. Don't do something stupid like, mimic a weapon or beheading or something nonsensical like that.
I disagree. I don't think it was a beheading. He was putting the sword back in his little holster, whatever they're actually properly called.
Scabbard. It's a sheath.
Scabbard. But he was putting the sword back. Like, that's what he was doing. He was bringing it out and putting it back. He wasn't actually doing, like, a chop beheading thing. I agree with you about the guns, but I want to bring... That makes me think about, you're wearing a Nashville Predators hat. P.K. Subban, he gets the arrows out and he shoots those. People got mad about that, but he still does it. He doesn't get penalized for it. I know it's in the rules in the CFL to get penalized for mimicking a weapon, and the correct call was made. I don't think that should be a rule anyway, unless you're actually like going up to a guy, pointing your fingers like a Glock and shooting somebody. That obviously should not be allowed, but this wasn't anything. I'm more pissed off on that play, on those back-to-back plays about Terrence Coleman. He was the tackle that got beat twice in a row by Craig Rowe, and I mean, that's why he's not here anymore. And if I were to give Rowe any kind of grief, it's that he didn't learn literally 10 seconds later. You got penalized for it. You knew what you got penalized for, and you did it again. That's just stupid. I mean, preseason game, whatever. That's a learning experience, I guess. I'm sure Wally sat down and said, hey, man, get your S together and, like, stop doing that. But you won't see that in the regular season again.
Oh, God, I hope not. And it was supposed to be a penalty last year. It's just over the offseason.
It was never enforced.
It was never enforced, and they were told, the referees were told, you know, you got to start enforcing this. So, stupid Craig.
I'm kind of with Alex on this one. And the one thing I find funny, excuse me, the one thing I find funny with the whole situation and kind of with your rant as a whole is you're kind of advocating the removal of violence from the game of football, which in itself is about as violent a sport as you can ask for. I agree. When you get to the level of guns and pointing a gun at a player, not so much a good idea. But I really don't want to see the CFL turn into the NFL and completely remove celebrations that really have no effect on people outside of maybe their feelings getting a little butthurt.
Well, like I said, I'm all for celebrations. The bobsled, great celebration.
The bicycle?
The bicycle, great celebration. What was it when they used the ball as a wine bottle, cracked it open, and passed it around? Great celebration. Not violent, though. Those are great celebrations.
Football's a violent sport. It's whatever.
The wine bottle one advocates for alcoholism. You can take this so far.
And alcoholism on the job.
Right?
Yeah, this isn't baseball where they do that, where they drink in the dugouts. This is football. You drink after the game.
I have a feeling he won't be doing that again.
Probably, hopefully not. Like, I mean, I like to see celebrations too. I love watching the somersaults in Edmonton. I know everybody hates that, but I love seeing it. They're having fun. They're not doing anybody to hurt anybody. And
you know what I would do if I was him next time? If he gets a sack, go to pull out his sword and then just kind of put his hands up and walk away. Make a point.
They'd probably penalize him for that too.
And then fine him after.
Yeah, probably.
Depends on what color socks he's wearing.
Oh, the CFL.
Thank God it's back.
Right?
Must be a conspiracy against the Lions.
That's the team that is getting the conspiracy this year?
Must be. Well,
because the league loves the Riders, right?
Oh, yeah. Orage is gone, so can't hate the Riders anymore.
All right, finally we have one more. Ferlin, thanks for the rant. That was, I do like the rant. Now, finally, we do have our Piffles Pick'em to get to. First off, join in on the fun by joining our CFL Pick'em group on the CFL.ca website. Check out our Facebook and Twitter for the links. They're all there. Just search Piffles Podcast in there. You'll find it. Join in, potentially win a Piffles Podcast prize pack. Just beat us and win. Seems pretty simple. Just like playing the Riders in 2015 and 2016. You just play them and you win. So that's kind of what we're going with this year. So join in, get a prize pack.
If you win.
Won't be hard.
No, we suck. But I'll list off the four games. We'll go around the table. Give me your four winners. We'll do it quick. And we'll start with Amy.
Are you listing the four games or am I just saying them?
Yeah, I'll list the games.
All right.
I was literally just getting to that. So we'll start with Amy. The week's this game.
Keep that one. The weeks this game
are Saskatchewan at Montreal, Calgary at Ottawa in a Grey Cup rematch, Edmonton at BC, and the Battle of Ontario, Hamilton at Toronto.
Montreal, Calgary, BC, Hamilton.
Okay. Ferlin.
Saskatchewan, Calgary, BC, Hamilton.
Steve.
Ditto to Ferlin. Saskatchewan, Calgary, BC, Hamilton.
And I'm going with Montreal, Calgary, BC, Hamilton. So I guess
two
I'm
against two.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, so it's Ferlin and Steve against Amy and Alex, I guess.
So we're all fairly confident in the other three games.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So that's what we have this week. Submit your picks on the Piffles Pick'em group. Join in and we'll have fun. But that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to have the latest Rider news. Obviously, we're going to recap this Riders versus Montreal game that kicks off the season. We're going to preview the Riders versus the Bombers on Canada Day, July 1st at 7 p.m. The first non-test event at Mosaic Stadium, and everything's going to be open, and it's going to be a big giant party and fireworks after. So we're going to talk about that game. We're going to be joined in studio by our newest Rider. He's going to be our Coney Island Piffles player profile. New Rider, Javon Johnson. We'll have a rant, and we'll just see what else comes up in the CFL, and we'll talk about real games that matter.
Yay, football. Sports.
Follow us on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
Give me a follow, at Safamud.
Myself, at Fernie635.
And I'm at CFL Hottieball.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. make sure you check out the website, piffles podcast.com. articles, interviews, all that kind of good stuff up on there. Join our CFL Pick'em group for your chance to embarrass us, as we mentioned, win a prize. And don't forget, ending this week is our contest for season opener tickets. So get on Facebook, get on Twitter, two chances to enter, retweet and share our contest link there. Get yourself two tickets to the season opener game and supper on Coney Island poutine.
Before the game, not at the game.
Yes, do not take those coupons to the game because they will not accept them. So make sure you stop by one of their two locations. The show has been brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out brynwerrett.com. That's BRINWERRETT.com. Thanks for listening.
We're a drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.